ya lo hace, pierna derecha, directo al arco, golazo, golazo.
The world of football with a soccer perspective. This is Soccer Today with Dwayne Mullins and Kevin Laramie, live on the Sports Podcasting Network.
Good day, good night, and welcome to Soccer Today. It is the week of a coach being fired in Major League Soccer. We will talk about the Houston Dynamo parting ways with Wilmer Cabrera later on in the show. But to start the show today, joining us live from the Crossbar RSL, our good friend Matt Montgomery, covering Real Salt Lake. Busy week, Matt. How you doing?
Things are, a little chaotic here. But, personally, I think I'm doing just fine. But from a Real Salt Lake perspective, I think everyone's been thrown into a little bit of a loop right now.
Fair enough. I guess the first question, based on how this played out and based on the language that was used, and I think we all understand what word has now come out to be used, was there any other way out of this than the way it played out 2 days ago?
So I think the final outcome is appropriate and proportionate. That said, the way it came out sounds like there may have been a little bit of controversy involved, chiefly on Sunday. No, sorry, Wednesday evening, last Wednesday, Deloy Hansen came out and told a small group of fans, and we reported on this at RSL Soapbox, that he was considering firing Mike Petke. From the timeline we've gathered, Thursday he would have offered him a chance to resign with a low six-figure payout. And then following that, everything I've heard is that the club assumed he was going to take that until Sunday night, at which point he informed them he was not going to resign. And at that point, they sent out the press release announcing that he'd been fired. He came out yesterday, so Monday, with a statement that he had been he had signed an agreement to continue coaching at Real Salt Lake, and I don't know exactly when that would have been. My guess it would be pre-Thursday, so probably early in the week. Last week, maybe about a week ago. So certainly something flipped there, and I don't know if that's down to sponsors weighing in at Real Salt Lake, or whether there were communication issues, or what have you. But regardless, it doesn't seem like this all happened in the cleanest way, and it's all kind of become public, which is frankly a little crazy.
Fair enough. And if you look at Petke's statement, I want to dive into that a little bit more. It was kind of a non-apology apology, which we're kind of used to seeing in sports, unfortunately. From your perspective, do you think that statement he put out is going to help bring people onto his side, or the nature of how this transpired based on what he did, do you think that has put him clearly as the villain in this scenario?
So I think I'll preface that with a little bit about some of the statements some of his players have made, and they've all been very quick to come out, presumably once the ban on talking about it was lifted. They've all been very quick to talk about, we know Mike Petke is a homophobe, we know he's a good person, and I think, by and large, at least among Real Salt Lake fans, and you'll see it differently on a national scale, I think, that's been pretty well agreed. At least most people don't think he is, a person who holds distinctly bigoted beliefs. The way his statement came out won't help his case with I think, really anybody. I think it will, as we see with a lot of, political and pseudo-political statements, right? It will continue to, you know, play to the people who already supported him, and it will play very poorly to the people who thought he needed to be fired. And I think the fact that he didn't, he very much didn't apologize, and I understand if especially if they're going to court, there may be reasons for that. So it certainly doesn't shine a great light on everything, though.
One thing that I'm really wondering, Matt, is the repercussion of this decision on the season RSL is having this year. They're still in contention for a playoff spot. The firing or termination of contract, if one were to use the proper terminology, is not even related to the play on the field. It's related to the behavior on the sideline and loud comments that Mike Becky made. So is there a risk that RSL's season on the field might be derailed a little or a lot by this move?
I think it's fair to say there's a risk of that. In talking to a lot of Real Salt Lake fans, I think there's an overwhelming feel that Pecky was, by and large, underperforming for the roster he had. And certainly you can debate that. I don't know if that's a certain thing. But I think it's fair to say that Real Salt Lake was not a high-performing team. So since Freddy Juarez, who has been the assistant coach for several years and was the first assistant for some time under Jeff Cassar, so he's lasted through, I guess, multiple administrations at this point. So you look at someone like him, and he's having coached the last three matches, he's shown that you know, it doesn't necessarily have to be a drop-off. Now, I've got my hypotheses on this. I don't know if the players like truly enjoyed playing for Petke. Every now and then I'd hear rumblings that they didn't. I think it's fair to say that Mike Petke is not a tactical mastermind. And I think we saw that a lot during his Real Salt Lake tenure. He's a coach who his focus is more on motivation than it is on setting the team up to perform well. One interesting thing has happened since Freddy Juarez came on, in that he's found a 0-0 draw, which has been a rarity for Real Salt Lake under Mike Petke. We have been a team that loves to concede in, like, under his leadership. We have conceded the first goal now in two consecutive games, which is never a great thing, right? And I think that's probably something that we should consider more. But we've taken those two consecutive matches, and found 3 points out of both of those. And that's been a real rarity at Real Salt Lake. It hadn't happened in 2019 under Mike Petke. And generally is true. There have been a few instances, but generally, if we give up the first goal, there is not a strong chance that we'll walk away with any points. So seeing that change makes me think that either we're seeing, that little boost after a coach leaves through whatever means, or Freddy Juarez is providing some tangible benefit to this team. And certainly could be both, or it could be like pure coincidence.
Yeah, the coach bump, the famous coach bump. Dwayne and I have been following this coach bump for a long time, and statistically speaking, it doesn't exist. But so far, maybe it did happen with RSL. The other aspect of this that is really fascinating is the behind the scene. You alluded to it earlier, Matt, with the owner talking to a group of fans, and that conversation was online, reported by yourself, RSL at South Box, and I read it and talked about it last week, and I thought it was interesting that the millennials aspect, the singling out of a generation, but a generation that is loud enough to affect change when they feel they have been slighted to the slightest, and I think that it had some part, at least, in that decision to terminate the contract. you bring more light to it now with the olive branch that might have been given to Mike Petke asking for a resignation, and not doing it led to his termination and the lack of severance that he might have had if he would have taken the offer. So what is your overall thought on this situation? Do you think Mike Petke should have resigned before? Maybe for his career in the future? Now, having one of the first coaches in history of Major League Soccer to have his contract terminated, do you think we'll see Mike Petke again in Major League Soccer?
Yeah, that's a really hard one. This situation seems unprecedented to me. It's not something that I think we've seen before in Major League Soccer, where a coach is fired and they, again, not explicitly threaten some sort of legal action. Now, I don't think this is going to hit the courts. That said, if it does, I'll be all there for it because it'll be fascinating. So that said, like, it's hard for me to know, like, that will this affect Petke long term? Honestly, this is sort of who I expect him to be. He prides himself on not being tactful, on not being, like, a politically savvy person, right? This is exactly who Mike Petke is. And I think there will be enough open coaching positions in MLS over the next 5 years that certainly some ownership group will take a chance on him. That said, maybe he lands in USL. Maybe he steps out of soccer entirely, although I don't know what he'd do otherwise. It's clear soccer is what he knows. So I don't know. There's not like a good answer to that, unfortunately. And I don't think he should be a pariah, right? I think people do make mistakes, and we have to be, societally and culturally willing to, like, let people, make up for those mistakes over time. But if I were an owner, and I know I have nowhere near the amount of money it would take to be an owner, right? So I'm in a completely different world than they are. But if I try to put myself in their shoes, it does seem like a bit of a risk and liability if you try to offer a pretty reasonable resignation settlement and have that turned down at the last minute. Like, that doesn't bode well. So really, I don't have a great answer because we just haven't seen this before.
Fair enough. And you are right that we do need to provide second chances. He didn't physically harm anyone, so that should allow for time to pass and for wounds to heal there, so on and so forth there. Let's talk about the future, though, the future of RSL in particular, in terms of that coaching position. If you look at the history of the club, they do typically promote from within. That would suggest that the interim tag will eventually be removed and you move forward from there. Do you think that that's the way this will play out in terms of the coaching search?
So I think it's a little early for me to have any inside information, but I sort of suspect so. Dola Hansen is not, I think fair to say, is not a big spender on non-tangible assets. And we've seen him be a big spender on tangible assets, right? Building up the Real Salt Lake Academy, building up some amazing training facilities. Those are things that have, like, actual value that he can point to in the future. But when it comes to, like, player personnel, when it comes to coaches, he's been reluctant to really spend big money. And I think that's just who he is, for better or worse. And so that does lend itself to more internal coaching hires. It sort of depends. If Freddie Juarez crashes and burns during the remaining, three-ish months of the season, then I think it's likely we'll get a look at an outside candidate. There's not a good internal candidate at current. And honestly, when Mike Petke was hired for Real Monarchs, I think everybody thought this is sort of a succession hire where he could take the Real Salt Lake job. So while he was an internal candidate promoted, I do think Petke was sort of picked for the role he was in to be that internal candidate. So that doesn't leave me with like a real knowledge of it. But I think unless Juarez does very poorly, there is not another internal candidate that makes sense. And I don't know that we look externally. That said, we just hired a European director of our academy and another leadership role at the academy level. I don't remember the title at current. And so we've seen Deloitte Hansen now in those roles looking to Europe. And I wonder if he's, fetishizing Europe at all there. And that could certainly play into coaching decisions as well.
On Extra Time Radio this week, I think it's Charlie Daniels, or Davis, pardon me, threw a bit of a wrench into the things by putting a name out there that I don't think a lot of people necessarily would have guessed. But actually, when I heard it, kind of made a little bit of sense, especially when you look at the trend of former players moving into coaching roles pretty quickly. Club legend, Cal Breckman's got to be near the end. Do you think that he would be considered for something like that, or the Monarchs role, or some kind of an assistant role as he nears the end of his current contract?
I think if he put his name in the ring, then he would be considered. I'm skeptical that he'd put his name into the ring. There was Extra Time Radio had a good, little segment on that, and Charlie Davies added some, I think, light from a player situation there, where it doesn't make a whole lot of sense for a player to move directly into a head coaching role at this point, from his perspective. And I think that would be a belief that Kyle Beckerman would share. That said, crazier things have happened. I have not heard, over the years that he's particularly interested in coaching. That may have changed over time. We know he loves Salt Lake. We know he'd welcome a chance to stay. But I suspect he'd be more likely to move into like an assistant coaching role or something of that, that sort, rather than a head coaching role at this point. I could be wrong, but I also think he may have another year under his belt that he wants as a player, and that remains to, that really depends on how the rest of the season goes.
I was going to quickly follow up with that. From a player perspective, you watch him week in, week out. I know that he's a legend, and it's hard sometimes to say goodbye to them, but from RSL, put your logical hat on there right now. Does he have another year left in him?
Maybe. So I think he gets a fair amount of flack, for being slow. But when I think about Kyle Beckerman through his career, at Real Salt Lake at least, he has never been fast. And frankly, he's always been a little bit slow. So I think the fact that he never had that aspect to his game makes me think that, that purely physical thing, I think makes it more likely that he could have another year in him. I think in the past few weeks, we've actually seen some very good performances from him. And certainly you're going to see lulls and highs. But I think if he were to accept a reduced role in the team, maybe a player coach type thing, if he wanted to get into assistant coaching, that I think he could have one more season in him. That I think is a little different from someone like Nick Raimondo. His performances through the year, while sometimes he's made some fantastic saves, as he always does, he does very much seem at that retiring age.
A lot of things happening with Real Salt Lake, and I wouldn't be surprised to hear other names that are close to RSL, like Brian Dunsett and others similar to him in the conversation in the future too. Matt Montgomery, thank you very much for your time today. You can follow Matt's work by following him at the Crossbar RSL, RSL Soapbox as well. Matt, thank you very much for your time today. I know it's a busy time in RSL world.
Thanks for having me.
And we'll be right back after this very short break.
You are listening to Soccer Today. Follow us on Twitter at @SoccerTodaySPN and like our Facebook page, facebook.com/Sports Podcasting Network. You can find the podcast version of all the shows we do on iTunes, Apple Podcast, Google Play Store, TuneIn Radio, iHeartRadio, and anywhere you get your podcast.
So apparently, coaching changes come in pairs. Because Wilmer Cabrera has been let go by the Houston Dynamo after their best season start in history. 7-2-2 after 11 games. RSL has had only two wins. Houston has only had two wins since that moment earlier on the spring. And Wilmer Cabrera has been let go. Former Montreal Impact captain Davey Arnault is now coach in Houston. Matt Jordan, former Montreal Impact goalkeeper, now general manager, president of the Houston Dynamo, has hired Davey Arnault as the new manager of the Houston Dynamo. Dwayne, we know it comes in pairs. Do they come in threes? Who's the next one to be fired?
Yeah, simmer down there, Vanny haters. Look, yeah, it's odd to me this far. We're going to try and get a Houston guest on hopefully soon to talk about this a little more in detail. They'll have obviously more insight than we will in terms of the specifics here. Obviously, Houston did not have a successful, you know, they had a great start and then they petered off. They looked great in the Champions League too. I actually pegged them as kind of a dark horse team this year. I thought that they were going to break through. The thing with Houston, and I have a few longtime followers from Houston that I talk to occasionally and have been for a decade now, so I trust their opinion quite well. And what, you know, I reached out to them last night, a couple of them last night, just asked their opinions, and it all came back unanimous that this is all fine and dandy, and maybe he wasn't doing as well as he could, but really in Houston, it's an ownership issue, it's a spending issue as much as it is anything else. There's a lot of similarities, I think, to the Whitecaps. But what I find interesting, Kevin, is why are you making these moves now? Like, do you think, is this a playoff thing? You
know? There's seven games left. What's the point? Is it worth it? Do you really think that there was a benefit to do this right now? If you think you can still make the playoffs and a few wins here and there will make a big difference? Or is it more thinking about next year and be like, okay, we think Davey Arnault is going to be our coach next year. How about we give him a test run? We're not going to renew or we're not going to bring back Wilmer Cabrera. So, okay, let's do the move. Those are the only two hypotheses I have, because with this amount of games left, less than a third, like a quarter of the season is left to play, and depending on your standings, not a lot of possibilities of making the playoffs if you're far behind. Houston is like in the middle ground in there, but it is troubling, I would think. This year, I don't know if it's a trend. I guess it is. What is it? We had earlier this year to the Colorado Rapids, parting ways with Anthony Hudson. So three coaches this year out of 24 have lost their job. That's 1/8 of the league. It's a trend. So I guess general managers or technical directors do see a benefit, but I fail to grasp that benefit still.
Yeah, look, I think there's a couple things at play here. And as you were talking, I was thinking a little bit more to answer my own question. I guess maybe the one thing that might be the rationale is that they've decided they've seen enough and know that they will not be bringing him back for next year. And they figure that, as you say, there's a dress rehearsal opportunity here. And that kind of thinking would suggest to me that these are teams that know what their budget is and know that they're not going to be in a true global search.
You know what it tells me too?
You're going to,
It just tells me a very short-term project, but no, continue.
Yeah, if they're going to be truly in a global search, you're going to wait to the end of the year. Maybe you fire with one or two games left to allow the coaching search to sort of get a bit of a kickstart before the offseason truly kicks in, but you want to make a hire a change when there's the maximum amount of pool there. And, you know, if you're looking at the American system and these teams are going to hire within that, you probably are going to wait to the end of the year when a lot more people are on the market. But I suppose you can finish it out with your interim and go from there and maybe even save a little bit of money. I don't know. But I think the other thing it speaks to, you know, and as I said, we'll try and get a Houston guest on to talk in detail and maybe move on after this. The other thing it speaks to is I believe that coaching bump that you spoke of that I don't believe statistically happens, and maybe I should go back and run some numbers soon. But I think that there is a true belief by owners that it does happen. There is a true buy-in to a lot of sports cliches out there in the world that people maybe are rolling the dice because, you know, to channel my inner with Han here, maybe they're looking at like, oh, yeah, he's right. Like if you do catch fire at the right time, maybe you can go on a playoff run and you can patch over a few things. But I don't think that Houston is realistically going to get much of a bump out of it.
No. First-time manager, first-time head coach Dave Yarno. He has been an assistant since his retirement in 2017, so it's his third season being an assistant with the Houston Dynamo. And Dave Yarno does have, I think, the experience in this league and seeing different eras of Major League Soccer that it can be useful and seeing different type of investment in teams that he played in. That I think can be useful to do the most he can with not necessarily a lot in Houston in the near future. We'll say good luck to Dave Yarno as new manager of the Houston Dynamo. It's Cup Wednesday, I guess. Big games. Campeones Cup. That's not the big games we're talking about. Oh, Euro Super Cup. Okay, maybe. Maybe. We'll see if Frank Lampard actually rested Conte for him to play 90 minutes against Liverpool in Istanbul tonight. It's always tough to play against Liverpool in Istanbul, but this UEFA Super Cup with Liverpool, champions of the Champions League, facing off against Chelsea, champions of Europa League, this afternoon on DAZN live from Istanbul.
It just starts off from a 3-goal lead and you'll be fine.
Exactly.
Super Cups.
Exactly.
Super Cups are what they are. I'm just going to be sitting at my desk and I'll throw it on to watch it and I'll be entertained by it. I think that if you want to find meaning for it, maybe Kulusevski will get a start and get a run out. We didn't see him to start and he was kind of a non-factor against United if you look at his overall play, although he certainly wasn't on the broadcast, which is something we should probably get used to.
Especially if you watch it on NBC. It's going to be the Pulisic show. Watching Chelsea in American TV this year, which is, imagine if he was Canadian and we're on TSN. Yeah. Imagine if TSN had the rights of the Bundesliga, it will be Bayern Munich Sports Center. It will be, exactly.
I was going to say, I did, in fact, live tweet Alfonso Davies' quote-unquote debut in the Bundesliga where he didn't touch the field. I don't claim to not be a hypocrite when it comes to this, but nonetheless, from an outside perspective, it can be a little amusing at times. So that might be something to watch for, but other than that, I mean, Super Cups are what they are. I wanted to talk quickly on the Campeones Cup. I had the opportunity, I suppose, to watch the first one last year in front of 14,000 fans in Toronto. About 6,000 were wearing Tigres colors. The rest were had a lot of them came in costumes of seats that weren't claimed for the night. It was not particularly that entertaining. It came during a very bad run of form for TFC at the time, too. So it was really an inopportune time, and Greg Vanney treated the game with the disdain that you expect from someone in that position. Atlanta seems a little more into this.
Isn't it that game that Schaffelberg made his debut? Like, there's a lot of kids playing in that game.
It might have been. I don't really remember it. It was a nice day. It was beautiful. And I remember that. I sat down in the stands early. I got there really early. It was kind of fun. I got a nice the Tigres PR staff were handing out their yearbook, like their media guide. It was all in Spanish, but still, it looked pretty.
Nice try. So you're like, thanks. Yeah. I can't read Spanish, but thanks. Nice try.
Yeah, it lots of pretty pictures in it. I enjoyed looking at that.
A for effort. Thank you. You tried. You have tried.
Anyway, so it does seem to me that Atlanta's going to give it a little more more effort. There's going to be – it's the first game that Atlanta fans have not had included in their season ticket package. So they had to buy the tickets. They're not opening the upper bowl, so it will not be anywhere close to their huge crowds that they can get in there sometimes. So, but they probably will still get 35, 40,000 out for this bloody thing. A lot of them are going to be Mexican. A lot of them are going to be cheering for the opposition.
Club America is a big Club America is a big club. It's very popular in the States. And I'm just excited to see the coach, Herrera. He's always a show to watch on the sidelines by himself. It's amazing.
Yeah, no, fair enough. Fair enough. There's that famous GIF out there. I actually watched that game live, but that GIF was created from. But, yeah, look, the one thing I will say, and I find this kind of unfortunate, and it sort of speaks to certain things, is we have the Rogers Cup semifinals, which are only available, of course, on OneSoccer, on tonight at the same time as TSN is broadcasting this horrendousness. So I find that unfortunate and a bit sad from a Canadian perspective, but that's... You know, it is because of the lines. It's the right thing there.
It is what it is.
Prefer to be showing.
You're right. Major League Soccer's partner in Canada is TSN in English, and in French is TVA Sports. And they're both showing the Campeones Cup tonight. Nobody took the ball after the first bounce and decided to find a way to get the Canadian Championship on TV. OneSoccer having the rights and using it as their flagship product to gather a lot of new fans. And, you know, I would be really interested to see the trends of subscription to OneSoccer and to see if there's a bump in the Canadian Championship when Major League Soccer's first round came into play. So when the Impact played against York 9 and when the Vancouver Whitecaps played against Cavalry, I would be really interested to see if there was a bump those days in the subscription and if that bump, it was only for the free month, which would go up until now. And I would be interested to see if that's going to stay. The fact that the final is in September, while that does give you more than a month, you're going to have to pay if you start your free trial before or just use another email, which is something a lot of people do to have a free subscription base over the top platform that do give a free trial. But Dwayne, for me, the semifinals of the Canadian Championship tonight, it is going to be on OneSoccer until someone forks out the money for it, because it is the cash cow of OneSoccer, I believe, so far this year.
Yeah, I talked to someone from Media Pro at the last Campeón game I was at, off record, so I can't tell you who, but I talked to someone, and they said that the sub level was much higher. They reached their projected sub level for the year in a month. At the start of the year, they were very surprised by the level of support that the league got, so that is positive. I would think that they would have gotten a lot of one-day purchases or free purchases, because I think you can buy a one-day thing. If you had a free preview earlier and had to let it drop, you could have bought a single day. So they got a lot of those for Impact fans and TFC fans in the last round. And some of them, the hope is that some of them will, in fact, stick around and watch a Canadian Premier League game and go, okay, this isn't bad. I'm going to keep this for $10 a month. Why not? I'll support the local game that way. The problem, I would say, and this is a general problem, this is CanPL is going to have to address comes to visibility again, and they're aware of it in their defense. Like, they know that they need to get on the shows, so they need to get on the sports centers. They at the very least need to get their stuff on the tickers of those shows. And I think I've heard Kurt Larson say a couple times that it's completely fair of the league to ask to be included on the scrolls that happen in Sportsnet and TSN, and it's kind of silly that they're not. So that's something that needs to be addressed, because really, this is what I'm getting at with someone who has this preview for a month. How would they even know to watch games if they don't know they're happening? And you have to be actively on the app to know. And I think they could do a few things on the app with updates and push alerts and things
reminders.
Like that maybe would help. But
you're right. The reminders on, like, if we just compare the zone to OneSoccer, I know it's not comparing necessarily apples to apples because of the difference of money behind both platforms, but the reminder aspect of the zone where you choose your team, you put the reminder, and I know 15 minutes before every single game starts, I get a push notification. Those are the future for OneSoccer. We're running out of time for today's show, and we still have stuff to talk about. Zachary Diallo, center back with the Montreal Impact, has been transferred to Lens Racing Club de Lens in Ligue 2, and we'll talk about this more tomorrow. Tonight, the semifinal of the Canadian Championship. Cavalry at home versus the Montreal Impact. Toronto FC versus the Ottawa Fury at BMO Field. We'll review those games tomorrow on Soccer Today. We'll talk about Diallo leaving the Impact tomorrow as well. If you want to know more about the Canadian Premier League, we have the Two Sawtooth Soccer Podcast. It's out already for patrons only. Yesterday, Mahik Gamaj joined us from the Valor Peg Podcast and from Northern Starting 11 Network, a website that covers Canadian Premier League and does a pretty good job at it. You can listen to Mahik talk about Valor, talk about the Jordan Morale situation, talk about the difficult times earlier this season in Winnipeg for the Canadian Premier League. And also last week we had Commissioner of the Canadian Premier League on the show, David Clanahan. You can listen to both those interviews for $2 a month at patreon.com/sportspodcastnetwork. Your contribution helps us go a long way with the production and the maintenance of this network, and we couldn't do it without your help, and we're gonna ask for your help as much as possible on a daily basis, because we love talking to you and it's a way for us to talk to you. And until tomorrow for another edition of Soccer Today, the world of football with a soccer perspective, we wish you a great soccer Canadian championship tonight.
You can find the podcast version of all the shows we do on iTunes, Apple Podcast, Google Play Store, TuneIn Radio, iHeartRadio, and anywhere you get your podcast.